Hello and welcome to Get a Better Handle on Life. I'm Barry Winbolt and this is my podcast. In this episode, I'm in conversation with Sarah Browning, whose mission is to inspire hope and positivity by highlighting the kindness that already exists in the world. Sounds great. Hello, Sarah. How lovely to be speaking to you. Please tell me more.
Hello. Yes. And thank you very much for having me. So, yes, as you say, my mission in life is to inspire people and in some cases teach people, but to inspire people to believe that there is kindness in the world already, that is a very positive thing for us. You know,
that sounds great, but isn't it a bit hard to believe sometimes?
I'm not saying that there is no bad things going on. Clearly, there's some awful stuff that goes on around the world. But that's not the only story. And that's where I founded a program called Time for Kindness, which is very much about saying, look, there is kindness. There's all these examples that I share and celebrate. And, you know, we need to rebalance that narrative we have about our world and ourselves within it, actually. And that's the sort of mission, as you described it, that I'm here to achieve.
Well, I described it, but I got that from your LinkedIn profile. So,
well, that's working then. That's good.
yes, it is. But when we hear words like mission and passion, which we do all the time, and there really doesn't seem, there's not a huge vocabulary around that for changing the language, is there? But they are generalizations. They are fairly abstract terms. So how does a kindness cheerleader of you, as you have described yourself, how does a kindness cheerleader start her day?
Well, so yes, I think one of the things that I encourage people to do as part of the work that I'm doing is to consciously look out for examples of kindness in the world around you. I can't say that I leap out of bed and immediately start looking, but it is one of those things that I have found. I think I'm perhaps a little bit more naturally inclined to look for sort of positive things and look for positive examples, positive stories. But it is something you can learn to do. And the more you do it, the more you do it, if you see what I mean. Now, I'm not myself a driver, but I am told that if you decide you want to buy a red car, then suddenly you see red cars everywhere. And it's a similar sort of thing. You know, once you start looking for stories and examples of kindness, then there are lots. There are lots out there. And one of the things I talk about quite a lot is I think sometimes we can imagine or we can get into thinking, oh, kindness has to be big. It has to be grand. It has to be these kind of big gestures. And really, I believe that kindness can be very small things. You know, it can be very small acts, but they are still kind. So something as simple as smiling at your neighbour if you happen to both leave the house at the same time in the mornings to go to work or school or whatever. You've no idea what impact that might have on them. But equally, you might notice your neighbour smiling at someone else, and that can give you a positive feeling even though you're not directly involved in something. So I'm not sure if that answers your question about how I start my day necessarily, but I think there is something about, you know, that keeping an eye out for kindness is part of my life.
But that's a great start. First, let me say you're speaking my language, you know, about looking for positive examples in the world more generally.
Yeah.
And in my case, I'm driven by obstinacy and a wish to prove people wrong, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
Because when I hear the more bad stuff I hear at a personal level, talking to people, the more I want to say, life doesn't have to be like that, which has been my strap line for years. You know, life is what you look for in it and what you draw out of it. And we know this from people who've been in dire situations, and obviously Viktor Frankl comes up a lot in these sorts of conversations, but there are daily examples, and that's a lot about what the people I speak to in this context and other contexts when I'm interviewing them. I'm always looking out for things that kind of buck the system, that break the cycle, that give us a nod. I don't go along with red cars, but interestingly, because I wouldn't ever want to drive a red car, my wife and I were in a car showroom a few years ago, and I very generously donated my car. I thought, we don't need two cars. Uh-huh. Take these two cars and get one car for driving your mum around. And I said, one condition, please. I don't want white and I don't want red, you know.
Fair enough.
And she bought, 5 minutes later, she's showing me a white car with a red roof. So it works both ways. I focused on it.
Bit like,
I didn't want it, but I got it. But how do I turn that into a teaching tale? Well, the thing is, if you focus on the bad stuff, you might just get it. You know, I expressed what I didn't want, but somehow I wound up 10 minutes later. Literally, it was that quick.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, so we have to be very careful about what we think. And finally, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
That's all right. No, I was just going to say, and I think that does seem to be, I'm getting a very positive response to what I'm doing. There is an appetite for that, actually. You know, people want to believe in something. People want to believe in something positive. And yet the typical narratives we get about the world, as you say, particularly through the mainstream media, but not exclusively, social media also plays its part. You know, we do hear a lot of the negative doom and gloom. And actually, that isn't the only story. And so I think there is an appetite, and particularly around kindness. What I'm hearing, some of where people are a bit, I don't know, tentative, a bit unsure, perhaps, around kindness, and particularly kind of speaking up about it, is that it kindness has got this sort of connotation, or has had this connotation of weakness somehow, that it is somehow kind of weak and fluffy. And yet, actually, I disagree with that completely. I think kindness is incredibly powerful. And I think it's powerful because it connects us as human beings. And the more of us, you and I, Barry, and people like us that speak up and talk about these more positive things and these more positive ways of going about our daily life and in our world, the braver other people can be, because they can think, actually, I'm not alone in believing in this or in wanting to believe in this. There are others, and we can be part of that community. So, we'll carry on, Barry, with our...
Yes, absolutely. And there, where it chimes with what I do in my work is that I say to people that the more you practice it, this, you said that something earlier on about, you know, you don't leap out of bed. But it was the word cheerleader that got me going with that. I had visions, you know. Seriously, the idea that if we practice a kind act or even think a kind and charitable thought, then we are starting new ways of thinking in our own mind. And the more we reinforce them, the more they become a reflex. That's my pitch on it. Anyway, that's my line. And if you are the kind of person who sees doom and gloom around you, and then you are fed a constant diet by the media, and actually social media will reinforce it very quickly, because if you're having a bad day and you look up evidence for other people having a bad day, say, or worse, you're feeling really down and suicidal, or you're feeling worried about an illness you have, of course, the algorithm will keep you fed with those stories. So it's self-fulfilling.
Tis.
Downward spiral, really, isn't it? And we have to break that cycle. And if we can start doing that in ourselves in little ways, then it will follow and it becomes more automatic.
Yeah.
Well, you said earlier that something along the lines of you seem to be naturally inclined that way. Did I understand that correctly? Because I certainly am, and I don't know where it came from. In my case, I think it's sheer bloody-mindedness that I just want to prove people wrong or something. I don't know. How about you?
Isn't it? Yeah, it's really interesting, isn't it? And I think it's a whole combination of things, isn't it? Around sort of nature nurture. I think I am, you know, naturally, you know, made that way to some extent. I am very privileged. I have been very lucky in my life. I have a happy family background, a long happy marriage, all those kinds of things. So, you know, I have lots of that around me, which I think helps. And then it does become about, I mean, there is an element, it's interesting you say that it's sort of sheer bloody-mindedness on your part, because I have found an element of that more recently, I think, because I'm starting to see, I've been running the Time for Kindness programme for just over 3 years now, and it came about because I started to think about what was important to me in the world, and that's when I thought, well, actually, kindness is important to me, and I believe there is lots there, and that isn't the natural kind of story we get told. And so I think there was an element, or there is an element, of me wanting to prove that wrong in a similar way to how you've talked about, because I just don't believe it's true.
Yes, well, some people might say that's a bit Pollyanna-ish, though, Sarah. You know, only look on the bright side and ignore the bad stuff. How do you respond to that?
I'm not denying, I'm not going completely the other way and saying nothing bad happens. There are both, and we need to have a balance of the stories that we hear about and tell ourselves and tell each other. And that has become an increasingly important part of the way that I do my work, actually, is that encouragement of encouraging people to not just notice the kindness, but to then tell someone else about it and talk about it and get that conversation going so that we have more of that conversation. And we all get more comfortable in using the language, I suppose, around kindness, which we're not necessarily, particularly in the business world, it hasn't been used a lot. That kind of, as I say, you know, kindness can be seen as weak and fluffy, and therefore the language with that can also be seen the same way. But again, coming back to the point on being awkward or just determined, well, why? Why is it like that? Let's change it. It doesn't just because it's always been like that, we can make a change.
Yes, and there is an appetite now, particularly in business, from people I've been talking to, there's more of an appetite now for another way of doing business.
Yes.
And I've been preoccupied by this idea for, well, certainly since the late 80s, the 1990s, early 1990s, when I became more involved in kind of human dynamics and the human potential kind of ideas, and wondering about how business and corporate business in particular, and this isn't a diatribe against corporate business, you know, I love being able to order things online. Amazon saved my life during the lockdown, not literally, of course, but, you know, I love examples of things that work well in business, and every business you can criticize at some level. So let's get that out of the way. But the businesses are not the enemy. They are part of our social structure. They keep our communities together in some way, if only by keeping us nourished and fed and in privileged societies like our own, at least. But having said that, it's not all about profit. It's about people. And so many companies say this in their mission statement. And then you don't see it acted out in any meaningful way.
Yeah.
Some you do. I have to say, some you do. But they tend to be locally and community-based. Global conglomerates don't seem to have much time for this stuff. You're listening to Get a Better Handle on Life with me, Barry Winbolt. So tell me about the Time for Kindness program then. How does that work?
Yeah, so it is, as I say, it sort of started as it was sort of late 2020, actually, when I think we were all, weren't we, kind of thinking, good grief, you know, what happened? What am I doing? Where am I going? And I'm a communications consultant by profession, by training. I've been doing that for a long time. And when I realised that kindness is really important to me and I think there's lots there, I thought, okay, so What can I bring to the party? What do I do? Well, I'm a communicator. I tell stories. That's what I'm good at. One of the things I'm good at. And so it started out just as a way of sharing those stories. I was seeing examples. I got friends and family and contacts to start telling me about the stories of kindness and examples that they had seen. I'm lucky enough to have a social media manager who is amazing, who I sort of did it myself for a little while to start with. And then I brought Alexis along with me together we sort of collect the stories. And that's just carried on growing. And we're sharing about two stories a day every day now.
And how do you do that? When you say sharing, how do you do that?
Yeah, so we're on Instagram, Facebook and LinkedIn, and I have a website as well. And we literally just tell the story. We just have little posts, little clips to say, you know, Barry got in touch with us and this is what he saw happen, or this was the kindness, how he helped a friend, how he helped somebody at business, et cetera, et cetera. So there's just a kind of a constant positive feed, really.
Okay, and can you signpost those resources for us? I mean, I'll put them in the description later, but
sure.
For somebody who's just listening and maybe doesn't have access to
sure. Absolutely. The best thing is to start with the website, actually. So timeforkindness.co.uk. And from there, we've got the links to all the social media.
Okay. There's so much in what you say. Gosh, you know, my mind's going in several different directions. One idea that's come to me, and I want to talk about this a little bit later, but is the idea of we're role modelling when we're demonstrating kindness. So that's one thing I'd like to touch on in a minute. And also the idea that when we are witnessing kindness, even though we may not as individuals feel like we believe it or buy into it or whatever, every time we witness one of those stories or one of those examples, whether it's in the community or on social media or wherever, then we are helping to reprogram ourselves and to counter that constant narrative that's out there that the media must feed us, because that's their fodder, isn't it? That's a food and drink. It's bad luck, bad news, disaster. But as you very eloquently say, it's only one part of the story. And actually, it's a very small part of the story of humanity, because those things have always been there. That's not to diminish them, but we have to remember that we in our communities, in our families, and even talking as we are now online, we can all do our bit. Would you say?
Yeah, very much so, very much so. And it's interesting. What I have found is that people are saying exactly that, that they are coming back to me and saying, I love what you're doing with Time for Kindness. It makes me feel positive and hopeful in a world that doesn't always give me that message. And yet I'm looking for that. I want that. I want that message. And I've always been, the piece you were saying about role modelling, I've always been really keen to stress that Time for Kindness is about see kind rather than be kind. I am not saying you must do this. However, what I think is happening and what I think is sort of a natural consequence really of what I am doing and sharing all these examples is that people are thinking, oh, I could do that. That's an idea. I could do that thing that I've just read about. I could do it with my friend or my work colleague. And also what they're doing is going, oh, I have done that. I do that. So another strand of the program is that I run workshops and do talks to teach people the habits, really, or how to build the habits of noticing kindness. And when we have a few different sort of, as you would imagine, kind of debates and conversations in those workshops around what is kindness, what's the definition of kindness, and what isn't kindness. And something which comes up quite often is people will say, so for example, we sometimes have stories of kindness where somebody's held a door open for someone else. And there are people who say, that's just good manners. And that's just what you do. That's just something or other. And my personal take on it is that it can be both. It can be good manners and kindness. It can be just doing your job because you're providing customer service, and actually kindness as well. But there has been the interesting conversations around that. Is it just
something? But doesn't that say something about our dismissiveness, our inherent doubtfulness or negativity, the need to write something off as just anything? Because actually, does it matter? You know, if it's a kind gesture, it's the recipient who benefits. Yeah. Now, speaking personally, and I would always say to my clients, if you make a choice to open that door, it may be by habit, it may be upbringing, it may be by rote. And actually, I notice these days, more and more people seem to just pass through without acknowledgement. You know, it quite often happens to me, and I try not to feel indignant about it, but if I'm honest, I think, well, that's pretty churlish to not, because these social niceties, this is the point I'm getting to, there's a reason that cultures have these little social rituals to oil the wheels of social interaction. There's a reason we're taught to be respectful. There's a reason that throughout time, you know, all parents want their children to grow up with the basic qualities that enable them to function well in the world. And those tend to be altruistic ones. They don't tend to be aggressive, destructive habits. I'm sure in some places, for good reason or not, those are picked up. But intuitively, I started to look a few years ago into altruism very seriously, because I was starting a book on those sorts of qualities and whether we are by nature altruistic. And the jury's kind of out, but the pendulum swings more towards the idea that, yes, we are, because it has social benefit. So holding a door open, even if you are doing it purely because that's the way you were brought up and you just think it's politeness, then that doesn't invalidate it, does it?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think it's, for me, it comes back to the point about human connection. I think it's those niceties or whatever we want to call them, are a way, as you say, for us to kind of connect and function really as societies, as communities, as groups. And when I've looked into definitions of kindness, there isn't a single everyone agrees pinned down definition. But the various different ones, and in my workshops, I use various different ones depending on kind of who the group are or, you know, who I think, what elements I think will be most useful to them. But there are, tends to be a common few different themes. One is that kindness is about action. So you can have kind thoughts, obviously, you know, that is, there is an element of that. But broadly speaking, kindness is active. You do something for yourself, because being kind to yourself is another thing. But, you know, if you do something for someone else, it usually has some form of intention as well. So a sort of deliberate aspect to it. And again, that's very interesting, because what you intend as a consequence of an action that you take is not always the way that the recipient receives it. So, you know, you have meant to be kind, and then they think you're helping them unnecessarily, for example. So there's, you know, there's no easy kind of, it's this, or again, it's that thing of, you know, it's not absolute. It's not that it's definitely this thing or definitely that thing, but there is an element thereof. You have either consciously for some time thought about intention, or maybe it's just in you know, that moment, there is some kind of intention to it. And those tend to be and the other element is the sort of positive aspect of it. So, you know, the impact is a positive thing, or the, you know, outcome is a positive.
But when you say impact, what do you mean by that?
Well, and again, that can vary depending on you know, what it is you're doing. It's linked to intention, isn't it, in terms of what is the outcome of the kind act. You're not always going to know, actually. So, you know, the example I gave earlier of smiling at somebody in the street, you don't necessarily know what impact that might have had on them, but the chances are it may have had it's that sort of ripples of kindness effect that we don't necessarily know how far it goes.
I think, you know, I was a number of things. One, I was talking to Terry Tucker, he's a cancer survivor, because he's still surviving 10 years after he should not be alive. He's an incredibly upbeat man. And I spoke to him a few weeks ago. He's on the podcast in an earlier episode. And I asked him, you know, I said, do you have bad days? He said, God, do I ever? Because I spend 1 week a month as part of a research program in hospital, being tested and having treatment, presumably. So he said, I wake up. Yes, of course I do. But what I do is I go and find somebody. In a hospital, it's not difficult. You know, I find somebody who, you know, just out of interest, I get talking to them. And exactly this, you know, he said, I realize very often people are worse off than me. But within 5 minutes of this gesture towards somebody, you know, you can call it kindness on his part. It's a strategy, because actually I know from speaking to him, he's done this all his life anyway, even before he was ill, showing interest in others. But in his case, he said, within 5 minutes, I've forgotten about my own problems. So there's a payoff for us. And I believe from the research I've read that there's oxytocin or something is generated when we make a kind gesture to other people. So I would say to people, even if you doubt the validity of this, and even if you think it's a big, cruel world and what's the point, it'll do you good as well, you know, and so that's a very important thing.
It is, absolutely. And I really like the fact that there is a lot more, this increasing body of academic research around kindness. And you're absolutely right. It is showing that there are positive effects to our mental health and well-being, and also our physical health and well-being.
Yep.
It does increase oxytocin and serotonin and all those happy...
And lowers blood pressure. I mean, there are all-round benefits.
Absolutely.
You can't lose. I'm Barry Winwell, and you're listening to Get a Better Handle on Life. If you're finding this podcast interesting, please support me by sharing this with someone you know, or by following me on any of the usual platforms. Thank you. And the question of role modelling I wanted to mention, because it keeps bobbing up in my mind, you know, and I'm just talking about partly about myself and witnessing other people do kind things as well, or just, you might say, courteous things or just nice things for others. But, you know, we can form in groups, we can form. So you might be in a waiting room, say, for example, and you see somebody come in who obviously needs the chair more than you do. Who's going to be the first person to stand up? And if you do that, and it goes against what you actually want, if you're honest, you'd rather sit comfortably. You might be here for an hour or more, depending on what you're waiting for.
Yeah.
Do you really want to give up your chair? But if you are that kind of person who does those things, then you will. And of course, then you're role modeling that behavior for others. And maybe other people, especially if people are less confident, they might think about it, but they don't want to kind of stand out by making that, being the first to make that gesture. Do you think that's a factor?
Yeah, I think so. I think you're right. And it's why I'm building a community of voluntary kindness ambassadors. And really, that is about encouraging people to talk about kindness and to very much sort of tap into, as you said there, that, you know, people are feeling a bit, I'm not sure about this, and I don't want to stand out, I don't want to be different. But actually, the more vocal we are, the more that we talk about the kindness that we have seen, that we have experienced. What's really interesting is a lot of the stories that I get sent are people telling me about other people that have been kind. Either they have been kind to the person who's telling me about it, or they have witnessed it between two other people. But I do get stories where people tell me I have been kind, but not very many. And I think that's part of what you're saying as well, this kind of, well, I don't want to be the one that sort of stands out or is somehow showing off. I did a community festival last year. We had a stall, I had some volunteers with me, and we were talking to the community families about kindness examples. And we were saying, oh, we're collecting stories of kind people. And I said to this little girl who, I don't know, she must have been about 8 or 9. I said, you know, collecting stories of kind people, do you know any? And she said, yes, me. And went on to tell me about something she'd done for a friend. And it was really noticeable that day, because we were talking to adults and children, the children were much more comfortable to tell us about things they themselves had done that was kind. And I really like that, because I think, why shouldn't they? Why shouldn't we own our kindness? Why do we sort of shy away from it? And it's learned behaviour, I think, isn't it? Somewhere along the line, we perhaps learn not to show off or to brag or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that is a really interesting point, because how would you, can you give me an example? I'm just thinking of my own case again, you know, I'd be pretty modest about, I like to think I do slightly above average in terms of kindness and gestures and little things.
Yeah.
You know, I make sure I park sensibly and that I don't take two spaces. And if I see the cars a bit out of line, I'll move it. And, you know, I was brought up to think of the other person. I suppose that's what that's about. So a lot of it goes unnoticed. But even as I'm telling you that, there's a voice saying, oh, smart ass, you know, don't brag about it, because it goes against our culture. So how can you tell me a story of when you've been kind that doesn't leave you feeling as if you're not in trainer mode or coach mode?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I'm not immune to it either. I'm exact. And it's funny, because even how I talk about this whole Time for Kindness program, I'm very keen to say it's not about, oh, look at Sarah, isn't she kind? And it isn't, because it is about doing something else. But equally, as you say, that element of you know, feeling a bit awkward about it. What have I done that's kind? And then your mind goes blank as well, doesn't it? Because you think, well, I must have done something. But I think it probably is. I was in a shop at the weekend, and somebody had left in front of me in the queue, had left their bag. They'd obviously put one bag down while they paid for something else, and then walked away. And I called them back and said, oh, is this your bag? In fact, it turned out it wasn't the person in front of me. It was somebody who had left the shop already, and I hadn't, well, I, you know, so I tried to be kind, and it was kind. I mean, we talked earlier about the impact and outcome. Well, the impact of that was actually that the bag went over behind the counter. And, you know, I can but hope that the person came
back. Well, there were other knock-on effects. You know, it gave the other person the opportunity to come clean and say, no, that's not mine. Yes. And so all round, it's quite a positive story. You made a nice gesture and you got the brownie point. It serves you right for being a smart ass, and you got the embarrassment of finding it wasn't that person, might say. But
it's not in the future. But that's
a good lesson for us too, isn't it? Because, you know, if we'd step up and we're a bit uncomfortable and then it goes a bit wrong. I mean, I had a similar example. You know, as a man, I was taught to stand up for ladies or for women, depending on the terminology and the era. And there was a period in probably the early 90s when it wasn't the done thing. And I got ticked off by a woman in the tube for standing up for her. For would you like my seat? She said, I'm perfectly all right standing up. Standing, thank you. And she's quite indignant. And I said, well, I've stood up now, so please sit down. And she did. Because I was embarrassed, you know, if I'm honest. But I would have thought common courtesy, because of the society we live in. I know this is all outmoded now and I'm old-fashioned and all that. I go with that. And this isn't about sexism. It's about a courtesy that was instilled into me when I was 3, 4, 5 years old. And you can say that's just the patriarchy in action and get all technical about it. But all I knew was I saw was some woman with some heavy shopping bags standing up, and I stood up and gave her my seat. And she rebuffed me publicly. And
it's a challenge, isn't it? And I think that's where some of you mentioned earlier, people are a bit reticent or a bit unsure about, you know, doing something kind of. And actually, sometimes that is where it comes from, is either their own previous bad experience.
Who was it who said, there's a story about this, isn't there? It used to circulate a few years ago. Somebody famous, I think. Obviously, it always is, isn't it? a man held a door open for a woman, and she said, don't hold the door open for me just because I'm a woman. He said, I'm not. I'm holding it open because I'm a gentleman. And, you know, that again is old-fashioned language. But these are the social formalities that oil our communities and our social interactions. And so is kindness. So we should practice it at every opportunity. And if I would add from my own upbringing that, if you don't want to do it, that's even more of a reason to, you get more brownie points internally. Because it isn't always easy, is it? It's not just about doing the nice stuff.
No, absolutely. And that's certainly particularly in a business context, when I run some of my workshops, you know, within businesses, that is a really important point, because this idea that to be a kind leader, sometimes you know, it is about having difficult conversations. Sometimes it is about holding somebody accountable, because actually if they're in a role that they're not able to do, or they're, you know, set up to fail, well, that's not kind to them. It is also not kind to the other people around them, who are probably picking up the slack if they're not performing their job. Yeah. So, you know, that sort of confusion of kind of kindness with niceness, it isn't always easy to be kind.
Well, I would.
Easy to sort of choose to do the kind thing in the face of hostility, potentially, sometimes.
Yeah, and the kind thing, if I've understood, you're saying the kind thing isn't always the visibly nicest thing.
Yeah.
It's actually, it might be sparing somebody that extra stress, that extra pressure of being out of their depth, or being unpopular with colleagues because they are seen as being treated favourably or something like that. Yeah. And I would certainly say that in my experience in as a consultant in businesses for years, because, you know, I wrote a book called Difficult People, and that says it all. And so that was what the sort of organisation I was going into, where they had interpersonal difficulties. And time and again, there was some poor so-and-so who was in the organisation who had become unpopular because they were allowed to stay in a position they should no longer have been in, because leadership would shift them about rather than biting the bullet, doing the responsible thing, because they're always afraid of some other power coming in, or tribunals, or this or that. And I just thought that was so weak and woolly and useless, because that pain ripples out, you know, that inconvenience, that what is seen as leaving a person. I mean, the classic example is somebody who's actually, the worst examples I have were people who are actually in jobs where they were moved there because they'd made themselves unpopular somewhere else. And bullying was a case in point. And so they'd end up with another poor group of people who then suffered them for a year or 2 years or whatever. And they got moved again when complaints are made because the management would never actually get a grip and sort out the problem. And nobody was happy.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, that's it.
So,
like you say, it has that kind of ripple effect and often way beyond the immediate team. You know, it can affect your whole business. And I think that's where, you know, and you said earlier, you know, things are changing. And I think you're right in businesses. And some of that, I think, is that they're recognising that not only is treating people with kindness and compassion and like human beings, not only is that the sort of the right thing to do, it's the best thing to do for your business, actually. Mm. People work together better then and kind of achieve for that greater good. And, you know, that doesn't mean having a difficult conversation doesn't mean you have to pile in and be cruel about it or nasty or whatever. You know, you still can be kind while having that difficult conversation. And that might be giving them a bit more time to sort of think things through or give them information to take away and come back with, or, you know, listening to what's going on in their whole world that you may not have known about.
You're listening to Get a Better Handle on Life podcast. I'm speaking to Sarah Browning about kindness. So kindness can be, in business we're talking about, and manifesting kindness can actually be slightly contentious sometimes.
Yeah.
But it's to the good. It's the good of the organisation. It's the good of the individuals in the organisation. And I do know from experience, again, that watching a compassionate and a kind manager, if you want to call them that, actually does affect the culture of the team or the organisation because it gives others permission to act generously. Yeah. Whereas the old bark and jump mode of management, you know, and the hierarchical power at the top, downwards and all of that, you know, that gets repeated as well. Trying to break the cycle is quite a task. So I congratulate you on that. So is that what your kindness ambassadors are? Do they have a particular mission in life or is it?
Well, so I asked them to make a pledge. But only as a sort of commitment for themselves, really. I don't check up on them. But to sign up to be a kindness ambassador, I ask people to notice at least one act of kindness at least once a week. And for every one they see, to tell at least one other person about it, because I want that conversation to spread. And it's up to them kind of what context that example comes up
right.
in. You like, you
right.
know, it might be in a work context or it might be in their home life, might be on the train on the way to work. It does pop up everywhere, so you know it's up to them where they choose to see that. Some of them then tell me the stories and I put them on our social media feeds, but most of them don't. They just sort of crack on with it.
Well,
but
and of course the thing about that is, one is, if you're on the commute, say, and you're witnessing kindness around you.
Yeah.
You know, it can become a bit of a pastime.
Yes.
But most importantly, I think, from a psychological point of view, you're exercising your mind in a new way and you're feeding it information about the goodness of humanity, whatever else is going on elsewhere.
Yes.
And many people would poo-poo that, I know, but actually that's what happens. And you will feel better at the end of your commute if you've spotted a few of those.
Exactly.
And I like the idea of kindness ambassador because it's kind of a job, isn't it? It's kind of something. Oh, I'm going to keep my eyes open. Have you? And I'm only thinking about what I've done in things I've done, not at all comparable to what you do, but acknowledging these things by writing them down, journaling or something.
Yeah, it's interesting because that is something that a few people have suggested over the years. There's a big annual online festival of kindness called KindFest. And I spoke at it last year, and that was an idea that somebody suggested in response to what I was talking about there, and said, oh, I'm going to start keeping a kindness journal. So I think, you know, I mean, people have gratitude journals, for example.
Yeah, exactly. Or success journals.
Yeah.
It's all part of re-educating the mind, in my view. And of course, there's very good research on journaling as well.
Yeah, and it's a good, if you are creating something like that as well, it's a good sort of reminder for you on darker days, because we do all have darker days. I do have days when I feel down, or I struggle to see things, kindness or whatever around me. But what I say, one of the tips I give to people on that score is to have something created somewhere for yourself as a reminder on those dark days, so that when you don't sort of have the emotional energy or whatever it is to look for something new, you can look back at your journal, or it's a bit of a plug for the Time for Kindness feeds as well. That might be your kind of place to go and have a look, just to remind yourself that even on those days when you can't see it, it is there. It is out there, and it will be there when you're well enough, or upbeat enough to go and have a look again. So a kindness journal would be a great way of doing that sort of physical artifact for yourself to
have. And of course, the act of writing is a reinforcement of what you've witnessed.
Yes.
Some would argue.
Yeah.
So tell us about that's called Kindfest, is it, Kindfest online?
Yes.
Kindfest.
Yeah, so, it's an online, it was founded by a lady called Susie Hills, and it takes place around International Kindness Day, which is the 13th of November every year. So it'll be the Friday, whatever Friday is nearest. It's an online festival. It goes for the afternoon, and it's one of my favourite days of the year, because Susie does and her team do a brilliant job of getting all sorts of different speakers in so many different areas of kindness, from academic research, politics, society, young people, older groups. There's such a range, and it's a real it is a celebration of, again, similarly to what I'm trying to do, really, that celebration of all this stuff that's going on, all these things you can learn about, get involved in some of them, just kind of, it's one of those, it fills my cup, as they say.
Okay, good. Well, you've filled our cup with all of this positivity and practical steps we can take, even with us in ourselves. Just start with the idea that there is kindness out there and look for it, and, get brave enough to make a few gestures of kindness for yourself. Yes. And I'd also say that if one is doing that, you're also using your mind in a more constructive way, so that we know from research you win all round if you can adopt a kinder outlook.
Yeah, so absolutely.
Anything else you'd like to add before we wrap up, Sarah?
The other point that sort of comes on from what you were just saying there, really, is start with yourself. Be kind to yourself. We've talked about kindness to others, kindness between others. Actually, kindness to yourself is a really important thing as well. And again, I use it, I talk about it as one of the tips in my workshops, because I think it's easier to see things in other people if you are experiencing it yourself. And for some people, being kind to yourself might be a bubble bath or something like that. But for some people, being kind to yourself is find a way to stop that negative voice in your head, or, spend time with people you love, or not with people who you feel obliged to be with. There's a whole range of things that can be kind to self, but that's a great place to start. It's also, I suppose, less public. So, if you are a bit unsure about whether to kind of stand up, maybe, showing yourself some kindness is a way to get started.
Well, Sarah Browning, thank you so much for telling us about your mission for kindness. You've spoken about Time for Kindness is the program.
Program name, yeah. Timeforkindness.co.uk is the website, and you can find links to other things from there. So, thank you very much for having me. It's been an absolute joy to have the conversation.
Okay, thank you so much. So much more we could talk about, and I really can congratulate you on what you're doing. And I'll put the links in the description.
It's been a real joy, and to find, I think when I read your description of it on the website, I think you said something about looking for different ways to approach life or something, didn't you? And
yes,
whatever the phrase was made me think yes.
Good. Well, I'm really happy to have spoken to you. I'll look out for the online conference in November. Thank you so much for getting in touch. So my thanks to Sarah Browning for an uplifting conversation. Time for Kindness. You can find out more on her website. Details in the episode notes. That's all from me for today. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Barry Wimbold. This has been Get a Better Handle on Life. Have a good week.